Amen. It was good to be here this morning. Appreciate those songs, the words that were shared. Looking at, thinking of communion, Luke 22, verse 15 says, "And he said unto them," Jesus speaking, "with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And that thought, that verse struck me this morning, "with desire, I've desired." That was our Savior as he was facing this, facing death, facing the shedding his blood for us. And and he shared this time with his disciples. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." It's a beautiful Lord's Day today. A day set aside to celebrate what he's done for us. I believe, again, every day that the Lord gives us should be a day of celebration. But today we plan to observe the Lord's Supper, Lord willing. A special time to reflect on what he has done for us and to remember what remember that, thinking of his death and suffering, and what he went through for you and for me personally. Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, gave his life so that we could have life, so that we could have hope. Just glad for everyone here this morning, glad for all our visitors. Want to welcome everyone here today. And looking right now, I don't see a lot of visitors, but it's good to have you all with us. We do practice closed communion, which would include our members and those that have made prior arrangements. By doing that, it's not our intention to condemn anyone else, but we simply believe that it's important that we know those that we are sharing communion with and that we have accountability to each other. Like was mentioned, Brother David will be sharing the communion message with us. And I'd like to think a little bit about the church. We talked a little bit about the church last Sunday, what the Bible compares her, the bride of Christ, to, compares her to a marriage relation, compares her to a building. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the foundation built on the apostles, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, a body. And brotherhood, as we think of the church and brotherhood, most of us were made aware here the last couple of days of what we were facing a year ago by some of the pictures that Brother Daniel and Brenda posted. And seeing those pictures brought back some overwhelming memories. You know, what a blessing and an answer to prayer to have you here with us today, Daniel, and God is good. And as we think of brotherhood and sharing together, I also was thinking this is the first communion that my dear father-in-law is not with us. And he took sharing in this way. He took brotherhood very seriously. He wanted to be here if at all possible. He cared about others. He was a prayer warrior. He often let me know he was praying for me. As I was thinking of brotherhood and the church, you know what? A few thoughts on what makes the church attractive. Now, there's a story told of a young man that was faithfully attending a church in a city. His family moved across town, but he would walk back across town, a long walk, to go to church where he'd been going. And his friends told him, he said, there's churches a lot closer to you that are just as good as that church that you're walking back to. And he said, no, he said, that church loves a fellow. And that's why he was walking back there. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read a few verses there. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This passage talks about the change that comes when a person is born again, or like Brother Dale Heisey says, is born from above. And he's talking about a group of believers that are committed to Christ, that are willing to submit to one another, that are following the model that we find given in the book of Acts, the model of the early church. A church composed of members changed into the image of Christ is attractive. He talks there about all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And that's what we are being reminded of again today, of what Christ has done, what he's done for us, how he's made it possible that we can be reconciled. And then we are to be ambassadors for Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he talks about, I like how he says that we ought to walk even as he walked. In a consistent church attracts others. We are called to walk as he walked. And to do that, we need to immerse ourselves in his word. You know, the way we live speaks louder than the words we speak. If our life, if our responses don't correspond with the words we speak or what we profess, then our words are meaningless. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, a community of compassionate people are an attractive church. A church that loves and moves with compassion will attract others. When we truly care, we will look out for the greater good of those around us. You know, if we're struggling with unforgiveness, with bitterness and self-pity, you know, it's going to be to have the opposite effect. We'll be a discouragement to those around us. But a community of compassionate people are an attractive church. Also think another important aspect there is the thought of it, along with the thought of caring for each other, is simply the part of being at peace with ourselves and peace among ourselves. And that's, we talked about that last Sunday, the part of expressing our peace with God, our peace with our brethren. The verse there, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's an important aspect of an attractive church. 1 Thessalonians 1, if you want to turn with me there, I'd like to read the first 10 verses there. And as we read these verses, think about I noticed the thought that Jonathan shared there in his prayer, that the part of as we are filled, that it will spill out to those around us. It will we share with those around us, and I don't have the exact words there. But let's think about that as we look at this as church that Paul is talking about here. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you and making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brother and beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of an entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So this is a beautiful picture of the word going out, sharing to those around them. Paul tells them, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, and ye became followers of us. And Paul mentions in another place, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe that's what he was pointing them to. And we see that in verse 7, it went out to those around them, to Macedonia and Achaia. It says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so we need not speak anything. So it's a beautiful picture of what God wants for his church and what he wants for us. I'm going to read closing here, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. You know, what a beautiful picture there of what God wants from us and from his bride, from the church. Let's kneel together for prayer.